Next on the 5 o'clock report.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Life would be dedicated to serving the nation.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Tears, prayers, and a royal send-off. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mark Webster. More than a week of mourning across the United Kingdom is coming to a close as Queen Elizabeth is laid to rest at Windsor Castle. Her burial comes after a state funeral attended by world leaders, including President Biden. At a committal service inside of St. George's Chapel in Windsor, the Dean of Windsor, Reverend David Connor, lauded the Queen's faith.
Here in St. George's Chapel, where she so often worshipped, we are bound to call to mind someone whose uncomplicated yet profound Christian faith bore so much fruit.
Before the committal, there came a larger funeral service at Westminster Abbey, where they prayed.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is.
And they sang. And the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, delivered the sermon there.
Her late Majesty famously declared on a 21st birthday broadcast that her whole life would be dedicated to serving the nation and Commonwealth.
Queen Elizabeth's casket carried there in a 123-year-old gun carriage from Westminster Hall, the same carriage which once bore the casket of Queen Victoria. Thousands lined the streets of London earlier in the day to watch the royal funeral procession, including this American.
When the coffin went by, there was two lorry drivers, big burly men, tattoos, and they began sobbing. And as an American, it's very difficult to understand what the Queen means to people until you're here and you're talking to people of all different walks of life.
Now we head to Puerto Rico, where over a million residents remain without power after Hurricane Fiona made landfall yesterday.
Hurricane Fiona slammed into Puerto Rico Sunday afternoon, unleashing drenching rains, triggering mudslides, and leaving the entire island without electricity. President Biden has declared a state of emergency on the island. The National Hurricane Center says the storm caused catastrophic flooding before it continued its course toward Hispaniola.
Correspondent Elise Preston, New York State. Has strong ties to Puerto Rico.
We're ready to send crews. We've already been in touch with the utilities, the NYPA, as well as the workers.
Governor Kathy Hochul, who says law enforcement help is also on the way from the Empire State.
We'll have over 100 troopers from the New York State Police Department on their way to Puerto Rico over this next week.
Those troopers will all be bilingual. And Pennsylvania's Task Force One is deploying to Puerto Rico in the wake of Fiona. Governor Tom Wolf announcing two members of the state's specialized emergency response team are helping with the relief effort. A powerful 7.5 magnitude earthquake has struck off the coast of southern Mexico this afternoon. NBC News correspondent Guad Venegas.
Most importantly, the president just spoke and said that as of now, they only have damages to some structures. They have not found any damages other than the structures in the state of Michoacán.
A tsunami warning remaining in effect as 10-foot waves batter the region. The quake caused buildings to shake in Mexico City, some 230 miles away. And communities in western Alaska assessing the damage left behind by a massive Pacific typhoon. The storm left a trail of wreckage across coastal Alaska over the weekend, battering the region with flooding and power outages. Another round of buses from Texas dropping off migrants in New York City.
A growing problem now playing out across the nation as migrants are transported from locations like this to bigger cities.
NBC's Priscilla Thompson, residents with mixed emotions of compassion and frustration. Compassion for the risk they're taking, but frustration that the small city simply doesn't have enough resources to deal with the growing issue. Meanwhile, Texas Governor Greg Abbott and New York City Mayor Eric Adams remain in a heated war of words over the migrant busing controversy. Ukraine's ambassador accusing Russian forces of torture.
Ambassador Oksana Marikova says there are clear signs hundreds of people found buried in a mass grave were tortured by Russian soldiers. The ambassador made the comments on ABC's This Week and said this latest discovery is just more evidence of Russia committing war crimes in the country. Marikova called on the democratic world for more support, saying it will be cheaper to win the war while it's still contained in Ukraine. I'm Rory O'Neill.
An American released by the Taliban appears to be in stable health. That's according to a senior Biden administration official.
His return is the culmination of many, many months of tireless and effective work by so many colleagues in our government.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking at the United Nations General Assembly. The update on Mark Friedrichs, who was released as part of a prisoner swap with the Taliban. And don't be surprised if you're addressed as Matey today. It's International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Not only is it a chance to talk the talk, the made-up holiday is also now recognized as a major fundraiser for childhood cancer awareness and support. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, Marching for Life in Harrisburg. Hochul says, yeah, she'll debate Zeldin, and they'll be shouting a lot in Orchard Park tonight.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A couple of showers and thunderstorms in the area this evening, scattered, and ultimately the clouds break tonight. Some patchy fog forms, low temperatures 50s and low 60s. But tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, less humid. A brief shower could occur in central New York, high in the 70s generally. On Wednesday, warmer near 80 with some sunshine, late day showers and thunder, and then much cooler for the first couple days of autumn, Thursday and Friday.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. Busloads of people, families, school kids, faith leaders all traveled to the Pennsylvania Capitol today for the second annual March for Life, advocating for an end to abortion.
Your state Supreme Court will soon be deciding if the following could be erased: protection for unborn babies after 24 weeks, prohibitions on sex selection abortion, 24-hour waiting period and informed consent for women before obtaining abortion, parental consent before a minor may obtain an abortion.
National March for Life director Jeannie Mancini also speaking today. Irish journalist Anne McElhenney, who produced and co-wrote the film Gosnell, recalling a graphic moment during Gosnell's trial.
One doctor was asked, so how many abortions have you performed like in your career? And the jury gasped when the answer was 40,000.
Joining marchers today were Republican lawmakers who proposed pro-life legislation in the GOP-controlled General Assembly. Democratic Governor Tom Wolf, a former Planned Parenthood volunteer, has vowed to continue to veto any legislation restricting abortion access in Pennsylvania. Since taking office in 2015, he's blocked three such bills. Marchers today prayed for Wolf to have a change of heart. Meanwhile, the governor's still pushing for more relief checks for Pennsylvania residents. He's pitching for $2,000 COVID-19 relief checks to be sent to households making less than $80,000 annually. He says inflation is putting a strain on households more than ever right now, and families need a break. Some of that money might be going down the drain in Williamsport, where storm sewer rates are increasing. The Williamsport Sanitation Authority is taking over the drain system from the city, raising prices next month to conduct necessary replacements and repairs. To New York now, Governor Hochul says she'll be debating her Republican challenger, Lee Zeldin. When asked at an unrelated press conference, the governor hinted the debates would be part of her fall schedule that she's set to release this week. She says debating the congressman from Long Island has never been a question. Zeldin has criticized the governor for failing to set a date as absentee ballots start going out. New York's Yeshiva University temporarily suspending all undergraduate student club activity, so it won't be required to recognize an LGBTQ student group.
The move comes in response to a Supreme Court ruling last week that would have forced the Orthodox Jewish University to recognize the student group called Yeshiva University Pride Alliance. The university hadn't wanted to recognize the group and therefore decided to suspend all student clubs of any type. The school had argued that recognizing the LGBTQ group would violate its own religious beliefs. Other faith-based organizations are following this case closely. Liz Warner, NBC News Radio, New York.
It looks like the building that now houses the Buffalo News will be sold to Uniland Development. Lee Enterprises, the Iowa-based company that purchased the News in January 2020, has reportedly agreed to sell the building. It's been there for 50 years between Salem Field and KeyBank Center. Customers at Wegmans grocery stores no longer able to check themselves out due to an uptick in shoplifting.
The popular grocery chain, with stores in both New York and New Jersey, among other states, halted its self-service checkout app known as Wegmans Scan because too many people were stealing items. Wegmans introduced the app in 2019, and it allowed shoppers to scan, bag, and pay for items while avoiding long checkout lines. The company announced they'd suspended the app over the weekend due to the financial losses incurred and said they're hoping to make improvements to the system. Liz Warner, NBC News Radio, New York.
130 Elmira College students rolled up their sleeves yesterday and pitched in to help spruce up Eldridge Park.
And it's nice that Elmira College gives us students this opportunity to give back to our community and make sure it's looking nice for everyone who enjoys it and loves it so much, because we know that it's a big thing for Elmira. And then we have people cleaning carousels and cleaning rides, making sure those are nice and clean for the people next year to ride and everything looks nice and new.
Beth Clark, Executive Director of Eldridge Park, the cleanup part of Elmira College's annual Service Days initiative. First-year students perform community service projects as part of their graduation requirement. And they're ready for some football in Orchard Park, where the Buffalo Bills due to host the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football this evening. Tailgaters have been packed into Highmark Stadium parking lots for hours already, getting ready to root on the Bills in what they hope is the beginning of a march to the Super Bowl. Bills head coach Sean McDermott says job one tonight is stopping Titans star running back Derrick Henry.
He's hard to stop. And it hasn't just been our defense. I'll give them credit. They have an elite player there, and they use him well. And so we have to do a better job of controlling the line of scrimmage.
But Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs says the Bills have plenty of offensive weapons of their own, thank you very much, including Josh Allen and fellow wideout Gabriel Davis.
Gabe has been a key part in our success. He's played many different positions. You know, when he first got here, he actually was active as well. He just wasn't as getting the ball as much, and he was making plays.
Kickoff set for 7:15 tonight. Buffalo is a 10-point favorite. Your nightly market report is up next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Marcolotti.
The markets bounced up and down today, but ended green across the board. The main focus for the week is the upcoming Federal Reserve meeting on Wednesday, as Wall Street awaits whether interest rates will rise by 0.75% or 1%. Markets continue to digest FedEx's report last week of seeing decreased demand and predicting a global economic slowdown. Oil relatively flat today at $85 a barrel. Bitcoin was down 1%. The Dow rose 197 points, the S&P 500 adding 26, and the NASDAQ closing 86 points higher. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
To make the most of your money, replace a bad habit with a good one. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. Let's suppose you have a habit of buying on impulse. When you feel that impulse, pull out your phone and make a note of the item. Then, wait a week, or even better, a month. By then, the impulse will have passed and you probably won't go ahead with the purchase. Here's another. Maybe you have a habit of not planning your grocery shopping, so you buy things you don't need and spend more than you can afford. Create a good habit of planning meals first. Then you'll shop more intentionally and make your money go further. Those are just two examples of easy-to-implement good habits that over time can make a big difference in your finances. Discover the best Christian financial articles, podcasts, and videos by visiting our website, moneywise.org, or by downloading MoneyWise Biblical Finance from your app store.
Coming up on the 5 o'clock report, the goofiest that science has to offer.
We're science, not what Jesus said to do, making truth the truth, living tissue, bone, flesh. We're science.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The cold from that brought showers and thunderstorms today will move away, setting the stage for a return to some sunshine tomorrow. In the meantime, there's a couple of showers and thunderstorms in the area this evening, scattered, and ultimately the clouds break tonight, some patchy fog forms, low temperatures 50s and low 60s. But tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, less humid. A brief shower could occur in central New York, high in the 70s generally. On Wednesday, warmer near 80 with some sunshine, late day showers and thunder, and then much cooler for the first couple days of autumn, Thursday and Friday.
All right, thank you very much, Kevin. And finally at 5. The love lives of constipated scorpions, cute ducklings with an innate sense of physics, and a life-size rubber moose. They might not appear to have much in common, but they were all inspiring for the winners of this year's Ig Nobels, the prize for comical scientific achievement. Held less than a month before the actual Nobel Prizes are handed out, the 32nd annual Ig Nobel Prize ceremony, held online by a magazine called Annals of Improbable Research. Among the winners, Frank Fish, a biology professor at Pennsylvania's Westchester University, who got one for studying why ducklings ducklings follow their mothers in single file formation. He says it's all about energy conservation, with the baby ducks drafting behind their mom like little stock car drivers. A researcher in the Netherlands snagged an Ig Nobel for measuring the physiological reactions of couples meeting on blind dates. He found out that when there was a connection, their heartbeats quickly synchronized. Swedish doctoral candidate Magnus Gers built a moose crash test dummy. Moose vehicle collisions are a big problem in Sweden. Gers decided to look at the problem from the moose's perspective, calling the topic, quote, mystical. And finally, there's the Brazilian researchers who somehow got a grant to study whether constipation ruins the love lives of scorpions. Yeah, scorpions sometimes jettison their tails to escape a predator. Part of the cost of that, though, is losing the last part of their digestive tract in the process. Turns out constipated, tailless scorpions have a tougher time finding a date. Now you know why. Ig Nobel winners receive a prize by mail, which they have to assemble themselves, and then a virtually worthless Zimbabwean $10 trillion bill. What would Mr. Wizard think? That's the world we live in for Monday, September 19th, 2022. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.